Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. It is a breezy evening in New York, but it is still blue skies up above. Floodlights are now on as the evening session is well underway. It has been a catch-up day, Catherine Whittaker, for this tournament. A catch-up day, the likes of which I'm struggling to remember anything quite so busy. We had 17 courts in action today. We had 87 matches on the order of play. I'd say they're about halfway through at the moment, maybe two-thirds of the way through. There's a good 20, 30, 40 matches still on the court at the moment. There's been a lot happened. We will bring the very latest news at the end of this show to summarise what's happened in the evening session. But for now, Catherine, before we head our separate ways, let's just have a little chat about what's already happened. Before we get on to that, Federer last night, when you and I went our separate ways yesterday, Federer was about to go on court. I don't think we could have expected quite such a pulsating match. Or did you think that we would get a five-setter?
I thought we'd get a more pulsating match. I don't think it was brilliantly pulsating. They had moments of pulsing.
Pulsatingness?
Pulsy moments. But I expected maybe a sort of four-set pulsating match. I didn't expect a five-set slightly odd. Look, I'm not saying I wasn't hugely gripped by it. And as I say, in the odd moment, particularly when TFO broke back in that fifth set when Federer was serving for it and his reaction. It was interesting. I was watching by that stage in my hotel room with ESPN commentary from John McEnroe. And it's funny, when he saw that reaction, he said, look, that's great, but there's too much adrenaline happening there. He's not going to be able to control his right arm. And so it proved, you know, got broken immediately in the next game. So it wasn't pulsating. Do you think it was pulsating?
No, I thought it was one of the most uninteresting five-set matches I think I've seen.
Your description of it as an anti-classic, I thought, was bang on the money. I love it. That's my new buzz term in tennis. It was absolutely an anti-classic. The sets were going by so quickly. I was struck by how spectacularly nervous I thought Federer seemed. Spectacularly nervous. And I sort of loved that. It just means he cares.
Yeah, hard to believe a guy who's won as much as he has would get nervous. Now, today's tennis, Catherine, in New York, day three, the 87 matches that we're well underway with. Where do we start? What has taken your eye?
Well, the thing is, there have been so many matches in it, there hasn't really been a big story today, has there? I was actually just chatting to Nick Imerson, who's the chap from the ITF who has the toughest job in town, really, and yet is just the most delightful man through it all, who does air traffic control of all the interviews and press conferences that us lot request. And he was expecting his busiest day ever today, and he actually said that there were just so many matches that journalists were having to make some pretty cutthroat decisions about what to cover and what not to cover, and also that because there hadn't been any big stories, there haven't been any sort of stop the presses, clear out all the rooms, we have to get this person in the main room unexpectedly, you know, there just hasn't been anything like that. Obviously, Sharapova winning the way she did was eye-catching because she didn't play particularly well. She looked quite flat. She looked like she needed the atmosphere that she got on Monday night against Halep and wasn't getting it for the best part of the set and a half. I mean, day sessions are different here. Mladenovic lost. That's sort of the biggest upset I can.
But that doesn't feel like an upset.
No, I mean, she's lost five matches in a row now. I mean, she's been woeful since the clay court season. I don't know what's happened to her. She should be better. There's a bit of Dominic Thiem about her. She should be better on other surfaces than she is. She shouldn't think of herself as a specialist of any note. But yeah.
Like Thiem, she's played too much, I think. You know, if you look at all those wins she had in the spring and in the summer, the early part of the summer, she's tired herself out. She hasn't got enough left in the tank. Thiem, though, had a good win today, very straightforwardly over the young Australian Dimonar. Dimitrov, straightforward wins as well.
Dimitrov is great. Now plays Rublev straight away tomorrow. He did a good job of getting that done very quickly because he's straight back on court, second on the temporary Louis Armstrong tomorrow against Rublev. That's going to be interesting, I think. Rublev's sort of died away from the next-gen scene somewhat in the last few months. He's still only 19. Thing is, these guys were bigged up from playgroup, weren't they? So if you think they should be older than they are. He's still only 19. Beat Aliash Bednay very handily today, albeit an injured and very dejected and sad Aliash Bednay. So that could be interesting, but I still think Dimitrov's, I don't think he's going to suffer a huge unexpected upset here like he has at other slams. But whether he has enough to go all the way is another question for another day. But I think that could be an entertaining match, but Dimitrov will be okay.
Somebody who did suffer an upset of sorts, Nick Kyrgios, and he got himself hurt again. He hurt his shoulder. I saw a fair bit of the match. We were commentating on parts of it. He was giving his own running commentary through the match. I saw him have a 39-shot rally in the first game against John Millman, who played very well. He's one of these who just punches the clock. The complete opposite to Nick Kyrgios in just about every way. And
he's been getting the same bus in as me every morning. He's an 8 a.m. kind of guy.
Millman or Kyrgios?
John Millman.
I thought so.
And he seemed so relaxed every day, just talking about Aussie rules football very loudly while I'm trying to get an extra 20 minutes of sleep in.
He's a lovely bloke, is John Millman. I interviewed him at length at Wimbledon a couple of years ago when he was about to play against Andy Murray. Just a lovely bloke, the sort of fellow you kind of want to do well because he's just a nice guy.
I think Nick Kyrgios kind of wanted him to do well.
Well, judging by what he said at the net afterwards, I would agree with you. But again, we seem to be having this conversation about Kyrgios, and I saw quite a lot of arguments on Twitter between, you know, very respected former players and observers, people like Paul McNamee, who was sticking up for him and saying, look, he's injured. That's all there is to it. It's not about mentality, it's about being injured. But other people would say that, yeah, lots of people get injured and lots of people have an anti-inflammatory and then crack on.
But also, look, I come somewhere in the middle of those two. I'm full of sympathy for him, but I found today very, very frustrating. Look, he gets injured because of his mentality and his attitude towards sport. Well, certainly, a lot of it comes down to that. I'm not, you know, obviously, the most professional people in the world still get injured. There's a certain amount of luck, etc. But we all know he doesn't do the Pilates and he doesn't do, you know, we know what he's like. We were getting some shots of him on the practice court earlier this morning before his match to use in our coverage. He was out there for 15 minutes. He barely hit a ball. He didn't take his jacket off, and it's been about 26 degrees today, and he spent most of the time chatting to Gael Monfils next to him.
I mean, on a match day, I don't have a huge problem with that, but
he barely hit a ball, David. His coach wasn't even there. His coach, Sebastian Grosjean, who I have my suspicions about whether he even is a coach. I think maybe that's just to get us all off his off.
Well, his what would he be doing there then?
His mate?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's just a theory. Look,
I mean, Kyrgios said himself afterwards, look, you know, he's probably too good for me, Grosjean, as a coach. And he did the full confessional again. We've heard that a few times now. But I still think I don't even know how honest. I mean, people say at least he's being honest. I'm not even sure he is being honest. I think it matters to him way more than he lets on. I think he's probably working harder, actually, than he lets on. But he's got problems.
I completely agree with you there. He was a little bit unpleasant to a couple of journalists, or certainly yeah, well, a bit unpleasant to a couple of journalists in his press conference. And I just think that's a defence mechanism. He wants to sort of brush it off and shrug and pretend that he's too cool for it. And I think it's a defence mechanism because I think he really, really does care. And he was booed onto court today, David.
Oh, I don't like that.
He was booed onto court. And I think we talked in the post-Cincinnati pod that they didn't take to him in Cincy, but we thought they would here in New York. I mean, surely he's got New York written all over him. And I can't fathom it, really. The double-armed embrace of Maria Sharapova and booing Nick Kyrgios onto court. Not that I'm comparing those two characters or situations in any way. I just can't really fathom that. And I think that probably got to him as well. How could it not?
It is all a bit weird. But anyway, he is out. Well played, John Millman. Good win for him. We've had victory for Juan Martin Del Potro. He took his time. I have to say he doesn't look like a contender to me for this title. Sharapova, you mentioned, is through. Who else has played? I mean, there's been so many matches today of players that have managed to get through. And you know, it's still going on. It's just buzzing this place right now.
I think David Goffin won over Julien Benneteau. He lost at least a set in that one. I think that was a good match. We had Gael Monfils and Jeremy Shardy played. I think Monfils won, but as is always the case in matches between Frenchmen, it was weird.
Oh, my pick for the final, Catherine. Agnieszka Radwanska won through 6-4, 7-6.
Svitolina was in trouble for a while. She had to come out and I'm sure she was hoping, only play a tiebreak. She came out leading by a set and 2-1 in the second set tiebreak. And all of a sudden she had lost the second set tiebreak and she was a breakdown in the third. She really had to battle against Siniaková, but she did battle. She looked a bit grumpy out there, but I wondered if she was perhaps a bit annoyed that it was Yelena Ostapenko who's to finish match from yesterday got upgraded to the Arthur Ashe Stadium and not hers. I mean, I've got no issue with that decision, but equally I can see how a Svitolina might have felt a bit aggrieved by that. I don't know, it's just a theory. A
couple of notable thrashings, and incidentally Svetlana Kuznetsova survived in a third set tiebreak. She was a breakdown at one point. But a couple of notable thrashings, one by John Isner, who's won his first two matches in straight sets. He's got a great opportunity, I think, at this tournament. As long as he can keep himself out of five set classics, I think he's got a real chance of making an impact here. The other one is Petra Kvitova, who showed no form at all and has just gone and destroyed Elise Cornet.
Yeah, John Isner first. He was great in Cincinnati and really ought to go on a run here. The only problem is he's in Sam Querrey's quarter and I don't relish the prospect of an Isner-Querrey quarter final. I'm not sure any neutrals would. I mean, it's just not a good matchup.
If you're going to have it anywhere, this is probably the place to have it.
Well, is it? Because it would be a divided crowd. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he looked really good today. I thought he might be a bit more troubled by Hyun Chung. And Petra Kvitova, I find that a really interesting one because at Wimbledon, for me, she was completely overhyped. I know she won in Birmingham and was showing some form, but for me, it was preposterous to think of her as the Wimbledon champion. Yeah, but here, I haven't heard her name mentioned once. Not once. And I think she's underhyped here. Nobody can seem to strike the right balance with Petra.
Catherine calling me preposterous there, everybody, just in case you didn't notice that. We have had... I mean, it's taken me forever just to scroll down these results in order to give them to you. Eugenie Bouchard's time on Arthur Ashe Stadium didn't last long. She lost in straight sets.
Zverev is on court at the moment.
Struggling.
Borna Coric.
Yeah, it's not all happening for him just at the moment. He's won set all. Won the first set 6-3. Coric second set 7-5. Four games all now in the third set.
Downgraded to which court today?
Downgraded to the grandstand court from Arthur Ashe.
Do you think those knee-high socks look a little bit more silly on the grandstand court than on the Arthur Ashe court?
Oh.
I'm being facetious because as much as I think objectively they are ridiculous, he did kind of look cool.
I don't care because I feel like if you're prepared to do it, good for you, mate, is what I would say.
I would do it if I was being paid what he's being paid to do it. And I think you would too, David. And I think we'd all probably, let's do a Kickstarter for that.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
I couldn't even finish my sentence before the idea popped in. I was going to say, I think we'd all chip in a few quid, and then I thought, wow, that facility exists.
Yeah, you don't want to be watching me in knee-high socks or any socks that show my legs. Anyway, there's just so many matches going on, I don't know what else to say because there's so many. Marin Cilic is currently on court 17, 4-2 up.
He didn't impress totally in the first round, but provided he's physically okay, he could win this title.
Venus Williams is 5-3 up in the first set on the Arthur Ashe Stadium against Ocean Dodin.
Dodin, who's very much all or nothing. If they go in, great. If they don't, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, that's right. Break point for Alexander Zverev. We've got Carl Edmund, who's 6-5 up, who is serving for the first set against Steve Johnson. I mean, you know, you probably know a lot of these results already. We're just giving you a flavour of what it's like out here. I mean, we're sitting outside the press room, floodlights on. It's warm enough to be short sleeves right now, a bit of a breeze. But every single court around us is full, not only of people watching, but of matches going on. I mean, it's 8:15 in the evening. It's just a fantastic atmosphere at the US Open right now. I, myself, or Catherine, will be back with you in just a moment or two to give you the results, the important results of the rest of the day. Catherine, anything else to add before I run for the bus?
Well, I was just going to say that maybe we should mention that Jeannie Bouchard lost since she was given Arthur Ashe billing. She lost.
Yeah, well, pretty straightforwardly, actually.
And she said she was also confused as to why she was put on Arthur Ashe.
Well, fair enough to her for that, then. But, yeah, those things happened today, and Catherine Whittaker has been on telly since about 7 this morning. So it's been a long old day, a fun day, though, and I'll be back, or Catherine will be back, to give you the details of the rest of the day very soon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So the evening session is now at a close, and 87 matches have indeed been played. What an extraordinary day of tennis we have had, and the evening session has provided a few shocks as well. First and foremost, Alexander Zverev, the man that so many people thought would go all the way through that bottom half of the draw, well, he's out. And I'm not too pleased about it because I had him in the final in my prediction, so that's not gone too well. He was beaten in four sets by Borna Coric, who really has been in his shadow in recent years. They came up together in many ways and they were regarded as the next big things at the same time. And Borna Coric has rather disappeared off the radar to some degree, and he's been outshone by Zverev, but he beat Zverev in four sets today, and I think that's a big shock, and that will be a huge disappointment to Zverev, and a question mark, frankly. I mean, I'm sure he will get there eventually, but he's still yet to deliver at the Grand Slam stage. He's lost too many of these sort of matches, and he's not really living up to the hype just at the moment. Elsewhere, Carl Edmund completed a straight sets win over Steve Johnson of the United States. I think that's a superb win for Edmund. He hasn't dropped a set so far in this tournament, and you know, that's impressive because he's come straight off the back of the Winston-Salem tournament where he qualified and won all those matches to reach the semis, and he's backed it up. Now he will face the winner of Denis Shapovalov and Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Who won that? Little Dennis. Little Dennis won. 18 years of age, he beat Joe Wilfred Tsonga, a former Australian Open runner-up in 2008. Well, he beat him in straight sets. And again, hugely impressive win that is for Shapovalov, benefiting, I think, probably from having come all the way through the qualifying. But the bottom line is that's the first time he's ever been on the Arthur Ashe Stadium court. And he just tore it up. He loves the occasion. He relishes it. You can see there's no shrinking in the spotlight for this kid. He just loves it. And the crowd loves him. And that is a big-time win over Joe Wilfred Tsonga. On the women's side of the draw, a very straightforward win for Garbiñe Muguruza, who is through 6-4, 6-love, and just looks better and better with every passing day, quite honestly, does Muguruza, and she is the standout player in the women's draw. There's no question about it. Another shock is the demise of Caroline Wozniacki here, former world number one. She'd been playing well. She's reached six finals this year. Well, she ain't reaching this final because she was beaten by Ekaterina Makarova in three sets. Makarova these days coached by Nigel Sears, and they've had some great results since they got together. It looked like it might be rather more straightforward, with Makarova serving for the match at 5-4 in the second set. Wozniacki fought her heart out, got through and won the second set tiebreak, but eventually it was Makarova who won the third 6-1. So that's the day's play done. What does that mean for Thursday? What have we got to look forward to on Thursday? It starts on the Arthur Ashe Stadium with Elena Svitolina, who was a little fortunate, I think, to beat Katerina Siniakova today. She's up against Evgenia Rodina, who beat Eugenie Bouchard earlier today. Then it's Karolina Pliskova against the American Nicole Gibbs, followed by a certain Mr. Roger Federer against a 65-year-old Mikhail Yuzhny. At least that's what he feels like he is anyway. There's a lot of years on the court between those two. Can't see Yuzhny causing Federer too many problems. Evening session, Coco Vandeweghe, who beat Alison Risk today. She's up against Ons Jabeur of Tunisia. And then it's Rafael Nadal against Taro Daniel. Can't see Nadal having too many problems in that one. There's Yelena Ostapenko on the Louis Armstrong court against Sarana Kostaya. There's Andre Rublev against Grigor Dimitrov. Now, that is a match I would love to see, as Rublev is starting to come into his own now. He won the tournament in Umag a few weeks ago, and he thrashed Aliosh Bedene today, who was injured, unfortunately for him. Dimitrov in great form, but that one could be a test if Rublev can play his best stuff. Dominic Thiem against Taylor Fritz is another one of a similar ilk, really. You've got the sort of the present generation of young players in Thiem and Dimitrov up against the real next gen of Taylor Fritz and Andre Rublev. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on as well. And then on the grandstand court, there's various players like Gael Monfils against Donald Jung. There's Barbora Strzitzova playing. There's Juan Martin Del Potro. And so there is loads and loads of tennis to look forward to. But with the time well after midnight here in New York, we will leave you for another day here on the Tennis Podcast. Thanks for your company. As always, we're brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. Do watch Eurosport's coverage tomorrow. Get the Eurosport player if you want to watch the rest of the US Open. There's an offer on of $9.99 until the end of September. All the articles you could possibly want to read are on the Telegraph website, so go and have a look at that. But for now, from me, David Law, and Catherine Whittaker, she'll be back tomorrow. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.